Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Dursen, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. This is Tom.
And this is Gavin Dursen. And we're keeping it simple today. We're going to continue our conversation about simple church, house church, organic church, micro church, whatever term you prefer. But this podcast is all about helping folks to explore life with Jesus outside of what we might call traditional or legacy church. And that is something that Tom and I are passionate about. And hopefully we can encourage you on that journey. If you have found this podcast, that probably means that you're somewhat interested in that as well. And so today we're going to talk about some blind spots sometimes that we have observed in simple church communities. But before Tom, we do, we want to thank those of you that have taken time to write us. And we've joked a lot on this podcast about the fact that there's probably two or three of you out there listening. And I believe we've heard from all two or three of you now. So if there are others, we would love to hear from you as well. But Tom has a letter to share from our listeners.
We got a letter from a guy named Mitch. I've recently discovered your podcast and have been enjoying catching up with it. So far, I've gone through episodes 11 through 16. Since you joke about your vast audience, I thought I'd contact you to let you know that you've reached one more. I'm kind of new to this movement, even though I had been looking at it for some time, purchasing many books over the years on organic church, which has sat on my bookshelves. Last year, I began devouring them, plus purchasing many more. December 22nd of 2013, I left traditional church, having felt yet resisting the impulse to leave for months beforehand when finally it was time. I turned 60 this year. Anyway, thank you, Mitch. And again, I just want to reiterate, we are not against traditional church or the institutional. We're doing something a little different. We're not trying to change the doctrine or anything, but there are people out there that may not want to set foot into a traditional church building or get involved in that, but they would feel comfortable sitting in my living room and talking about Jesus with me. And that's kind of who we're talking about here.
Yeah. I think we have said this before. I know for me personally, this path has been really about trying to get back to the basics. And I've used the analogy before of putting the big rocks in first. You might be familiar with that illustration of saying, hey, what if you put the small rocks in the jar first, then the big rocks won't fit if you wait to the end and put them in. And so I think for what we're trying to do is to say, hey, let's forget maybe all the things we think we know, and let's come back to Jesus and the scriptures and take the big rocks and put those in first. And I know for me, discipleship and family and relationship are those big rocks and the Great Commission. And so that has fleshed itself out for me, and I know Tom and others, to something that looks a lot like organic church or simple church. So that's what we're here, and that's what we're hoping to encourage you in. And we want to thank those that have replied and let us know that you're listening. That means a lot, because we put a lot of time in this, Tom especially more than me, because he does all the editing. And it's awesome to know that somebody's getting something out of it other than just Tom and I, which that's kind of why we started this podcast, because it was a good excuse for Tom and I to get together and talk about these things, he in Louisville and me in Lexington, Kentucky, and we really enjoy it, and we're glad you're with us here today. So today we're going to talk about blind spots. You know, it's interesting, Tom and I, you and I have talked about this a lot. When we bring up organic church or simple church, people oftentimes have their litany of lists of reasons why this is not a good idea. And rarely are the reasons people think that it's not a good idea, or the problems that people see in this type of thing, in my experience, rarely are those the real problems or the real blinds, the real issues. You know, a lot of times people bring up false teaching or whatever it might be. And so I know we've talked about that before, but that's the big one that a lot of times bring up, or the kids and involving kids. But a lot of times the real issues are not those things that I've experienced. And today we want to just kind of talk about some of the things that we do see as real blind spots or potential issues for those people involved in Simple Church.
That's correct. And, you know, some of the perceived blind spots, they are out there. For example, we mentioned the false teaching, and that's one of the big things that traditional churchgoers point to us and say, oh, it's a hotbed of false teaching. Well, not really, not any more than any other church. It does happen, and it happened in our church, and we dealt with it. We dealt with it swiftly and decisively, and if it comes up again, we'll continue to deal with it. So, it's out there. It's not a deal breaker with house church. I mean, it's not endemic. It's not an endemic problem. If we're going to talk about blind spots, we're going to have to get a little bit personal with me, and I have to share with you some of my personal heartburns that we're dealing with and working through. And every time I think I have these heartburns, every time I feel like I have these struggles, the Lord kind of pulls me aside and says, okay, you're thinking this, but look up from this angle and see what's happening. I get it in my mind that our church is a little too inward focused, that we're only interested in ourselves, who's coming, you know, what food we're going to bring, and I fail to look at the big picture that, you know, we're only there for a couple of hours every week. It's what we do the rest of the week that's real important, and that's when we're reaching people. So a lot of times God has pulled me aside and said, Tom, you know, it's not about what happens at the meeting. It never was. It's about who you are, how I'm shaping you, how I'm equipping you to go out the rest of the week and touch other lives. And we don't often see that in our meals, in our meetings, but we do see it. Another example I was talking to Gavin about was sometimes, you know, when we gather together, And this kind of comes from my experience, you know, growing up in a traditional church, and you know, been to churches with fantastic worship bands, you know, orchestras, choirs, whatever, and I have been led to the presence of the Lord by some really good worship times, worship music, worship teachings, and in my living room, we don't have the choirs or the praise bands, and we usually have one or two guys with a guitar, and you know, they're taking requests, and so I don't feel that flow of worship, and again, God kind of pulls me aside and says, you know, Tom, this isn't about you, this isn't about the songs you sing, this is about you gathering in my presence, and you know, if you're not feeling that, or if you have to have a certain song or a certain ambiance to get that, then you're missing the point. You know, I'm here all the time, and so I struggle with that sometimes. Yeah.
I think that, you know, sometimes, and I kind of alluded to that too. Sometimes, again, what we perceive as problems and pitfalls to this whole thing actually stem from a comparing what we're doing to what we used to do,
right,
or what happens in a traditional church. So our worship. Worship doesn't look like, singing doesn't look like it did in a traditional church, and we happen to enjoy that part of traditional church, and so then we think, man, this isn't, there's a problem here. And I think that, you know, at the same time, I would agree that I think, what does it mean to sing and worship God through song? We know that singing isn't the only way the Bible talks about worshiping, right, God. It's offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is acceptable, is a pleasing worship to God. And we know that there's lots of different ways to worship God from the scriptures. But at the same time, what singing is one of those. And so how are we helping people to learn to sing to God? And are we doing that? Are we practicing that as believers? And there is something about music, and there is something about worshiping God through song. And so, you know, I think that you know, can be sometimes an area that is lacking, and I think sometimes that's lacking because, again, people are waiting for someone with real talent in the music area to begin singing or to kind of carry that. Yeah. And we're not really coming to gather as Christians with hearts full of worship, and willing to not worry about what the people in the room are thinking of us, just like it, and really just bring a song. You know, it says in Corinthians, we've talked about it, if any of you has a song, bring it. And I think sometimes that's a pitfall. There's not a lot of times that people are coming with songs to share or songs on their heart to bring.
Yeah.
And
we kind of leave it up to the guy with the guitar.
We still do that. We wait for the that's the one person that can play the guitar, or this is the one person that has a really good voice. So if we're going to sing, I'll let them do it and let them be the loudest so that people don't have to hear me. And so there's this idea, I think, that are we really worshiping God, coming to worship Him? Are we willing to really... You know, it perhaps would be the same in a traditional church. You know, maybe you could make that same case. Like, well, there's only one person. It's only the band up there and the people with good voices that are really singing, and there's a lot of other people that aren't. Except in simple church, oftentimes, at least in mine, we don't sing every week. So if somebody's not going to come with a song to share, then there's not going to be a song sung. And so some weeks we can go weeks upon weeks without ever maybe singing.
But that being said, I mean, you can always open your Bible to the Psalms and someone can read a psalm. That's what we used to do, you know, when we didn't have a guitar. It's like, well, we can't sing unless I can plug in my MP3 player. Here, I can read this psalm to you. Let's read this.
And a lot of these things are that's actually an opportunity, you know, if we really, as we even talk about these things, you know, we think about, well, this could be an opportunity to really help people understand that worship isn't just singing. And I think in simple church, you have a real opportunity to do that, to really practice other forms of worship. Mm-hmm. And again, there is a childlikeness that has to come along with this. There's a bit of a humility that you have to display amongst you, but that can be very real and genuine in a room with folks that you're growing with. So I think, Tom, one I shared with you that I think is a blind spot. I think with some of the simple churches that I'm working with that are filled with Christians who have been walking with the Lord for a while, they do a pretty good job, I think probably a really good job actually, with giving. You know, they've kind of taken ownership of giving, and they're giving to things that are on their heart. You know, I remember that we had a simple church gathering one time where we just asked folks to come and share with what they give to. And it was amazing to sit back. We actually took a couple weeks to do it all, because it was amazing just to hear about all the many different ministries and mission efforts and kingdom work that was being supported financially from just the 10 or so people in the room. And it was kind of impressive to sit back and look and say, wow, the kingdom is growing as a result of us being generous. And that was encouraging. I think for newer folks, you know, again, a lot of the reason they don't want to go to traditional church sometimes is because of this perception that money, that people are in it for the money. And so when we, you know, when I think about some of those simple churches, I'm not so sure. I think that's an area of growth, and it can be a blind spot. Are we really becoming more generous with our resources and our money? And for, you know, because it's uncomfortable to bring that up. And if people aren't already doing it, so you get new people that are, you know, they've not ever been a part of the church, and they like simple church because it's very non-churchy. But giving is very important, and I think that can be a blind spot for some of these younger, newer groups of new believers.
So you're saying they want to give, but they don't want to give to
I'm saying
don't know how to give.
I'm saying they probably don't want to give, and maybe we're not. Maybe that community, it maybe is reluctant to bring up the importance of that.
I see.
And to really help people understand the importance of giving. And maybe even, you know, encouraging that, helping point people into understanding biblical giving. So I think that can be a blind spot.
I sometimes joke that, you know, preachers, even if the preacher is lousy, he can always give a good sermon on giving, because that's kind of how the church exists, is through giving. I think we just need to reiterate, you know, how important giving is, and the end is not to fill out our budget. And a lot of house churches don't even have a budget. I know we don't, but still emphasize how important giving is. You know, not only in the Old Testament, but, you know, especially in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're I think we're free from the law in the New Testament in that regard, legalistically, but we're not free from the spirit and intent.
Yeah.
So people may not agree with me, but I kind of teach that, you know, I don't think we're obligated to, quote, tithe, you know, our 10%. Nobody's, you know, checking on that or anything. But, you know, the Apostle Paul says, you know, give above and beyond. A lot of good financial teachers, you know, Christian financial teachers would say, you know, the tithe might be a good starting spot.
Yeah.
You know, at least 10%. So I'm not against giving a 10%, but I don't think we're obligated, you know, no one's checking in our church, yeah, if you're tithing or not, but we are encouraging giving,
yeah,
you know, as much as you can, 10, 20, 30%, whatever you're, yeah, comfortable with.
I think another blind spot perhaps for folks in simple church can really, you know, it's like everything. I think we have to be careful. Sometimes we let the pendulum swing too far one way at the expense of it the other. And there is a balance on it. And I think one of the strong suits and the emphasis of simple church that we're trying to tap into is this, hey, there's a problem if we don't even know our neighbor, people that live next to us. You know, we emphasize that a lot. Let's be missionaries where we live. And sometimes that's not always your street. I think that emphasis and encouraging people to think local in the sense of missions is a real, for me anyways, it's a big importance of simple church. It doesn't really work if you're not doing that. At the same time, I think a blind spot can be this call to reach the nations. And I think that, you know, what does it look like for our simple church community to reach the world for Christ is a question that sometimes maybe isn't asked enough. It's not addressed enough. It can be overlooked because we are focusing so much on building relationships with the people that are in our immediate context and thinking, how am I to fulfill the Great Commission here in my neighborhood or in my office place or where I live presently? We can forget that the Great Commission is a global call. And so I think that can be a blind spot. And I think that's an area of growth for a lot of simple churches, is to think about what are, you know, to at least begin praying about that and ask and keeping that question at the front of the community, because it is the call of Christ. And so I don't think there's a formula for that. I don't think there's a right or wrong way. It's not, you know, let's go once a year or every 5 years on a short-term mission trip to another country. It could be that. I know for some groups, it's looked a lot like engaging in some of the work you guys are, of looking at the world coming to our doorstep and thinking, how can we reach international folks right here in our backyard and help them to become simple church planters when they return home? Those sorts of ideas, I think, in, you know, there are ways that people are looking at the globe in thinking in terms of simple church ministry and engaging in people in their backyard with that hope. So, you know, but I think that can be a blind spot.
And I think the advantage to the house church, micro church, simple church concept is, you know, the contrast. A traditional church, most of that's done through programs and ministries. You know, you have a missions. Most large churches or churches that are big enough, they have a missions ministry that may or may not be run by, you know, a separate missions pastor. So there is that within a traditional church. In the simple church, we don't have programs. You kind of have to think lifestyle. So you have to adopt a lifestyle of cross-cultural engagement, of you know, going and making disciples wherever that is, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your state, and worldwide. So that needs to be emphasized in whatever teaching you're doing. Not only emphasize, you know, you have to teach it, but you also, you know, you're, whether you're an institutional church or a simple church, your congregation is not going to go anywhere that you haven't been. So
yeah.
If you've never been on a mission trip, or if you've never tried to engage, you know, in cross-cultural ministry, they're not going to either. So
yeah,
you have to kind of take the plunge. You have to go out there and do it.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, a lot of these blind spots, quote-unquote, I'm kind of thinking through here, they're all kind of things that we've even talked about in previous podcasts at some level. So I think that's probably the reason why we're talking about the things we are, is because they're kind of burning on our heart. You know, and one other thing I think that, you know, we've talked about on the podcast before, leadership. I think that can be a blind spot in the sense that simple church tends to draw it can be very attractive to the independent, self-starter, kind of self-motivated, kind of that trailblazer type of person that is willing to, you know, be a leader in themselves and step out and break the mold, so to speak. It can be attractive to that person. At the same time, there is this submitting to one another that we know. And so sometimes I think coming under and submitting to other people that are involved in this work, and finding other people that, in having teachable spirit, having a sense of, hey, I need to lean on your wisdom here. What do you think? And kind of that mutual submission and finding those other people that you can kind of learn from. I think that, and recognizing them even as, this person is someone that I really look up to and I really respect, and I'm gonna lean on them at times. And that sometimes can be a blind spot if we're not careful, because we understand that we are ministers and there's no hierarchy, and so we kind of let that pendulum swing the other way, and we just kind of toss the leadership thing out altogether, and we think, well, having leaders is not important. So that might be another one. I know we've talked about leadership before.
I think leadership and leadership training is a great subject for a future podcast, and we do want to cover that. I think for now, that's a good it's a good discussion.
Send us your thoughts and comments. What are some blind spots that you've observed, and we'd love to hear from you.
Or struggles you're having.
Yep, and we'd love to hear from you and perhaps talk about those. As always, I don't know, this is like podcast 28.6. So make sure, if you're just tuning in and you just found us, go back through our archives and take a look at some of the previous podcasts, and hopefully you'll be encouraged from what you hear. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.